It's Marketplace Tech for Tuesday the 27th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. I never got to carry around one of the robot babies they use in high school to drop truth and reality bombs on kids who are becoming sexually active. But they are pretty common. Common enough that earlier this year there was a scientific study of whether these baby robots, made by a Wisconsin-based company called RealityWorks, actually deter high school kids from having kids of their own before they're ready. RealityWorks currently says it controls about 95% of the robot baby market. And a new story in Bloomberg Businessweek looks at RealityWorks and skepticism around the effectiveness of its technology. Esme DePrez wrote the piece. Esme, hello. Thanks for chatting.
So the babies themselves are pretty sophisticated technology. They basically are a network of sensors. It's kind of like a vinyl or plastic doll, but It has a network of sensors inside it and a circuit board. So students wear these kind of hospital-like bracelets that have sensors in them, and they kind of have to swipe the baby each time it cries to figure out what it needs. The whole idea is that this simulates the actual experience of caring for a newborn and their time to real infant schedules.
What does one of these things or a group of them set school back? How much do they cost?
The RealityWorks sells something called the Total Parenting Experience. That comes with 10 babies and the curriculum and all the gear that you need. That sets schools back $15,000.
And as you've reported, there's an issue here with the company's marketing versus the actual impact as opposed to the desired impact of these things.
Right. The impetus for my story was this study that came out in The Lancet, which is a prominent British medical journal, in August. Mm-hmm. This actually looked at pregnancy outcomes. So it was the first to do that. The company does market this as a teen pregnancy prevention tool, among other things. But what this study found was that girls who had brought home the baby were actually more likely to get pregnant than those who didn't.
How's the company reacted to this?
They came out with a very strongly worded statement smearing the study as essentially junk science, trying to question the methodology and saying that it really wasn't, you know, testing the right thing. I will note the public health researchers I spoke to said this was the gold standard in research. It was a randomized controlled trial. And, you know, they did say it was very sound science.
Esme DePrez, her piece on robot babies is in Bloomberg Businessweek. Esme, thank you very much for talking to me.
Thanks for having me.
We may not yet know what the year 2017 will bring in terms of technology, but your listener support of Marketplace guarantees we'll all be better informed and better prepared, flying cars or not. Make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today. Help us keep you up to date and well-informed wherever you are. Donate at marketplace.org by December 31st. HBO's show Westworld, loosely based on the 1973 sci-fi film, follows a winding story of an adult theme park populated by humanoid cowboy robots run by a shadowy corporation and full of big questions about consciousness and artificial intelligence that is starting to become self-aware.
Have you ever questioned the nature of your reality?
Westworld's first season has garnered Golden Globe and Screen Actors Guild nominations. Since a lot of people might be signing up for HBO streaming services with their new devices this week, we called up the co-creators, who also write and produce the show, Lisa Joy and Jonah Nolan. Thanks for talking with me.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
So a lot of the show seems connected to a larger conversation that we're all having right now about artificial intelligence. Why'd you choose this topic?
I think as a writer, you're often looking for or trying to understand the moment that you're in. But for me in particular, I think that the question of AI is something that has become ever more sort of increasingly urgent as we feel it start to seep into our lives. It's sort of coming in at the fringes. It's coming in by way of Siri and Google. For us, this felt like this is the topic of our moment. Very much.
I think it's a reflection of where our technology is growing. Of course, you know, the way that AI is developing right now is more in kind of narrow spikes, not necessarily as anthropomorphic creatures designed to look like us. And
sure.
That's the way the part in our show is an allegory for human nature. You know, so we use technology as a lens to examine ourselves.
There are some literary references in the name titles, I know. Can you talk a little bit about some of the inspiration for the work?
We did a lot of reading, did a lot of research, read a lot of interesting people, everyone from Marvin Minsky to Julian Jaynes, and everyone in between. the question of consciousness is still something largely approached by philosophers. Computer scientists kind of don't want anything to do with it because they know it's a bit of a black hole.
At one level, the show is about robots that are built to entertain, which is why I think the mechanized player piano is such an interesting character in the first season. This is also this kind of this robot that has been built to entertain. Can you talk a little bit about where the idea of incorporating that came from?
Yeah, Lisa and I were casting about at the script level for the pilot for an image that summed up the sort of plight of our characters and something we come back to. And then selfishly, I wanted an excuse to be able to use contemporary music in the show. The piano is actually now in our office. Over the course of the season, it became sentient.
Nice.
And it's now renegotiating its contract for the second season.
Do you think artificial intelligence should have rights and be sentient and free?
I think it depends on where artificial intelligence is. You know, the kind of cautionary tale of Westworld is, you know, you can't define humanity and life by just exactly what we are, you know, born of a womb and our kind of womb. And you have to consider behaviors and feelings and different methods of cognition. And even though, you know, we work in the realm of fiction in that sense goes hand in hand with technology in terms of speculating and envisioning different scenarios that could occur. Part of the importance of storytelling is, and you know, if you have a kid, you see how many stories are actually cautionary tales because you're trying to groom a young life to avoid massive mistakes that start off innocuously. And I think that's part of what we're doing.
Lisa Joy and Jonah Nolan are the co-creators of Westworld. They also write and produce the series that airs on HBO. Lisa, Jonah, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
By the way, there's a much longer version of the Westworld conversation, including important information about the show's robots' bodily functions at marketplacetech.org. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.